Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Indeed, he is risen. Hallelujah.
That is our cry in a special way in these first 8 days of Easter, but throughout this Easter season, as we try and let our bodies and our minds absorb the full force of our good fortune. Hello to those who are with us at home. We pray that through this, our joining together in faith, that the Lord will help us enter into these Easter realities. We prepare now to approach this making present of the death and the resurrection of Jesus our Lord. We know that we are given the privilege of entering into things that others longed for and never saw. So we ask the Lord to prepare us now. We examine our conscience, acknowledge our sins, ask for God's help. We approach the throne of grace to find the mercy we need. Jesus, you are the long-promised Messiah. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you were the Lamb that was slain, yet is now risen from the dead. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you have been faithful to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest, sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Heavenly Father and God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. From the waters of death you raise us with him and renew your gift of life within us. Increase in our mind and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of eternal life with you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Invite the children who are here now to come forward for this special presentation to you of the Word of God. These special Easter readings where we hear about the appearances of Jesus to his disciples and the beginning of the church at Pentecost. May the things that you read make a difference in your life, and through them may you come to know Jesus as his disciples did. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them. For those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles. And they were distributed to each according to need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by Him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sometimes we complain that life just isn't fair. I lived in Baltimore for 3 years in the 80s, so I was numerous times on the Ohio and Pennsylvania turnpikes going back and forth from friends and family in Ann Arbor. I had heard that the turnpikes were places lots of people got speeding tickets, so with my habitual lead foot, I tried staying in the middle of the path. One day, from right in the middle of the pack, I get pulled over. "How come me? Why not the guy before me? Why not the guy behind me? They were doing the same thing I was. That's not fair." A friend of mine in the exact same situation, on the exact same turnpike, got stopped. He also was in the middle of the pack, and he asked the officer, "Why me?" The officer asked my friend if he was a fisherman. The ironic thing was, he was a rabid fisherman. So he said, "Yes, officer, I am." The officer looked him in the eye and said, "Did you ever catch everyone?" even when we get caught doing what we know is wrong. I was obviously speeding. We say it isn't fair if others get away with the same thing all the time. But I say we don't want fair. Who here has not sometime in their life driven under the influence of alcohol? Don't raise your hands. What would have happened if you would have gotten in an accident, even if it wasn't your fault? Some have. Was that fair? Who has driven unsafely, juggling cell phones, coffee mugs, radio, lunch, children? You've been distracted and taken your eyes off the road. How many people have gotten into accidents doing the very things that you do all the time? Do you want fair? Who wants the IRS to pick apart their last return? They will pick apart some. You want to volunteer in the issue of fairness? What lies have you told? What secrets do you have? Some deeply hidden secrets get exposed. Is it fair if yours do not? Would you want a true, detailed, general confession of your whole life posted on the internet? Would not total disclosure and absolute transparency be fair for everyone? I say we don't want fair because we're all guilty. Addiction groups have a phrase that's called hitting rock bottom. Rock bottom means that you hit the point where you realize that your life is a mess. In the words of AA, it's insane. And you can't put it back together on your own. Your drinking may have gotten you in trouble with the law. Your gambling may have emptied your savings or crushed you in debt. Your lust may threaten your marriage. Drugs may get you fired. The secret's out. The rationalizations have been exposed. You experienced that even your greatest fears weren't as bad as what you got now. But most people say that was the best day of their lives. Because it's only when you are honest that you can begin to understand the roots of the problem. Honesty takes courage. Because reality is often frightful. I think we all need to have an experience of spiritually hitting rock bottom before we can understand what this feast of divine mercy is all about. The second Sunday of Easter has been declared by the previous Pope as a special feast where we remember the great blessings of divine mercy. For me, understanding divine mercy profoundly changed during a weekend when I was a sophomore in college. I had recently come to a point of enough faith to tell God that if He was real, I wanted to know Him. That took a while. I wasn't sure I was interested. But talking with friends, doing some thinking, I said, okay, if God is real, why wouldn't I want to know the source of all that is good and true? So I had a long night of studying before me. I had made some halting starts to prayer, so I said I should say a prayer to God for help. One thing led to another, and that brief prayer lasted for hours and hours. I had a profound experience of the reality of God. I knew God was there. I didn't believe God was there. I knew God was there. It was just a whole different experience. I knew He loved me. I knew this was the best and most important thing I had ever experienced. Praying, being there was no effort. only joy. I could have stayed there forever. And then out of the blue, something hit me that took my breath away. What business did I have being with God? God was everything I wasn't. It wasn't just that God was greater. It wasn't a matter of degree. It was a matter of kind. God was cleaner, purer. God was utterly different. I knew how easy it was to make excuses and think I was better than I really was. I wasn't that bad. I knew lots of people who were worse. I tried hard. I did a lot of good things. Most people would think I was a good person. I knew all the lines. In the presence of God, it was clear to me this was nothing but self-deception. It was a sham. I did not love God like Jesus loved us. I didn't empty myself as Jesus had emptied himself, but I was full of selfishness and other junk. I was defiled, not pure. I had disobeyed God's laws and bragged about it. I might have not mocked Jesus on the cross, but I had mocked virtue and holiness. I'd made fun of good people. I had a clear feeling of how I'd related to God, and the thought that came to my mind is that it was worse than if I had kicked my mother in the stomach. I don't know why I thought of that. I think it was maybe the worst thing I could think of. I wouldn't have done that willingly for anything in the world. But I knew that I had done something worse than that. And I knew that this was incompatible with God. And I was heartbroken. I was lost. I was desperate. To my immense surprise and embarrassment, I started to cry. I was a healthy college male. Real men don't cry. I hadn't since grade school. I was glad nobody saw me, but I couldn't help it. I had seen a glimpse of God. I knew there was infinitely more, but even the glimpse I had captivated me. And I knew there was no way I could ever find myself back to that because of the wrong I had freely chosen to do. I was anguished and hopeless. And then something hit me harder than even my own sin. What hit me harder was the mercy of God. Tears turned to joy as I said over and over and over again, I can't believe all the stuff I heard was true, even the stuff I heard as a kid. This is why Jesus died on the cross. This is why Jesus rose from the dead. I'm forgiven. That's why he was up there. He swallowed up death. I'm at peace with God. These were not words on a page or abstract concepts. This was air to someone who was choking. That, my brothers and sisters, is divine mercy. Divine mercy cleanses. Divine mercy purifies. Divine mercy gives us a new nature that's required to know God. Divine mercy is Jesus emptying himself. Divine mercy is water and blood flowing from the heart of Christ on the cross. Divine mercy is the air of heaven filling the collapsing lungs of earth. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you think you can breathe on your own? Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you believe this? Do you know that you need Jesus more than you need air? You know that you need more than a spiritual nip and tuck. You need a heart transplant. You need a brain transplant. You need a full body transfusion. In fact, you need a whole new life. You need to be born again. Try doing that on your own. You need divine mercy more than someone going over Niagara Falls needs a safe landing. Divine mercy is what the Apostle Thomas received in the Gospel today. Try and understand the tenderness with which Jesus encountered Thomas. Thomas had been bold and unbelieving the week before and said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hand in his side. Still gives me the creeps thinking about it. Now, I've put myself in Thomas's shape before, and I think that Jesus, I get in moods anyway at times where I think that if Jesus saw me, the first thing he'd say, hey, come on, knucklehead, have you buckled up yet? I've just about had enough of your nonsense. Why are you the only one with the problem? But it wasn't that at all. I think there was great tenderness, great compassion, great longing in the tone of Jesus as he appeared to Thomas and says, come here then. If this is what you need to do, I don't care. Look at all that I've done. I'll be glad to do this. Put your hands in the nail holes. Put your hand in my side. I want you to believe. It was the unbelief of Thomas where the mercy of Jesus was applied that day. Where do you need it today? Where have you said, I will not believe until, I will not pray until, I will not forgive until, I will not trust until, I will not obey until? What part of your life as a disciple have you said that you will not do until? And how do you think Jesus feels about that? I tell you, he feels the same way with you as he did with Thomas. He has divine mercy for you too. Whatever it is, he wants you to believe. He wants you to know. Divine mercy is flowing freely. Do you know how desperately you need it? And as you call out in faith, receive it from God, can you do with Thomas, bending to the knee, saying from the depths of your heart, my Lord, and my God.